God on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands and lift up a praise unto the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He is so good, and it's just wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. I want to talk to you tonight on a subject that is just, I just kind of feel to talk about it. It's not something that we've talked a lot about. In fact, I don't know that I've ever heard this particular subject, and so I just want to talk about it because it's in the Bible, and it's there a lot, and I think we just sometimes skip over it because we feel like we get the general gist, and we move right along. But our passage of Scripture tonight is going to be from Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture beginning with the 7th verse of Deuteronomy 32. But while you're turning there, I want to say, didn't we have a great time on Sunday? My goodness. Wow. My. What a great time of worship with the Urshan College Chorale and United, and what a great word from God, Dr. Jeremy Painter. How many want to put on Christ? Hallelujah. My goodness. Such a powerful word from the Lord, and we're so thankful for it. Well, this coming Sunday is going to be Pentecost Sunday, and we are looking forward to a great time in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous service on Sunday. We're going to have Brother Ethan Hagen with us, and we're going to receive from the word of the Lord, and we're going to have a powerful revival service on Sunday. I'm believing for God to fill many people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm believing for miracles and healings, and we want to have some Pentecost on Sunday. That's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. So we're going to come to the Lord with great expectation on Sunday morning. Amen. But from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and beginning with the 7th verse, the word of the Lord reads as follows. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now, I want you to notice some of the things that the writer is saying here. Moses is saying, the Lord is saying, Moses is saying under the inspiration of the Lord, he's telling Israel how dependent they are on God. He is describing to Israel the goodness of the Lord. And notice what he says in verse number 10. He, God, found him, Israel, in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Now that's how the Lord found us, ladies and gentlemen. He found us in a desert land. He found us in a waste, howling wilderness. He found us when we had no hope. Do you remember that's how the Lord found you? This is why the Bible instructs us not to forget the pit from whence we were dug, because he wants us to understand that the way he found us, we had no hope without him. But he says he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So this is what the Lord did for Israel. Stirred up the nest, fluttered over her young, spread abroad the wings, and taketh them, and bearing them up upon the wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. The blessing of God came upon Israel, and it was all because of the goodness of the Lord. The blessing of God delivered Israel out of those waste, howling wildernesses and those desert lands. And God made him who had no hope to ride upon the high places of the earth and to eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. He is talking about the fatness of the land, the plenty of the field. He has given of his good hand unto Israel all the riches and goodness that comes from the bounty and blessing of the Lord. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. But then the Bible says something interesting in the next verse, verse 15. But Yeshurun, which is a name not used often, concerning Israel, but it is concerning Israel in Israel's most, if I should say it this way, most primed state of being, the holiest of places. It's at their very peak, best position, and this is where they were. But Yeshurun, and here it is, here's where things take a little turn, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, the rock of his salvation for Israel up to this point, that was the rock from which water did flow. But Israel, in their place of peak primed blessing, they grew very overabundant in their blessings. And here it says they were waxen fat. They were overgrown. They became thick with a complacency concerning the blessings of God, and they lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now that seems impossible. It seems impossible that any group of people that were thirsty and ready to die of dehydration, but out of the blessing of God and the miracle working power of God, the rock of God opened up and water poured forth. It seems impossible that they would ever lightly esteem that rock. And yet they did, because they had overgrown with complacency and they became, developed a sense of entitlement, developed a sense of ingratitude concerning the blessing of the Lord. And so they lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. They started looking to strange gods instead of to the Lord God of Israel. So they provoked him, in verse 16, to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. They sacrificed to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. It's interesting, this language of the rock that begat thee, the rock that begat thee. It puts for me in new language and light the idea of the rock hewn out of the mountain without hands. That rock that was in Daniel's vision was representative of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the God of heaven. And that kingdom of God replaced the kingdoms of this earth. And this is saying that this rock begat Israel. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Praise the Lord. So there's a begetting of the people of God, and it is the rock that begat the people of God. And it is indeed the rock that begat us, and we are lively stones as a result. And so they were unmindful of it. They had forgotten the God that formed them. This is Israel we're talking about. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. And here it is, and this is what I want to talk to you about. For they are a very froward generation. I want to talk to you about frowardness. frowardness. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. They are a very froward generation. So this is actually the first time that the Bible uses this word froward, and it's a word we don't talk a lot about. We don't talk a lot about the word froward, but this is the word that is used as that the translators used to describe this condition. Now, if you were to look at this word, it means rebellious, it means perverse, it means one who is a contrarian, one who is unwilling to follow. And so that's what the word froward means. And the Bible says a lot about the froward, but I don't want to just look at the definition of the word. I want to get into the etymology of the word. And the etymology of the word gives us a kind of an insight into what really this word froward means. And so it's broken up into two parts, fro and ward. When you're talking about ward, it actually has to do with direction. It means the position something is facing. It's what a particular direction of facing. So we would use it today to say something like, "What ward of the city do you live in?" And that's a term used in old days concerning. We still use it, and it describes neighborhoods, it describes districts, it describes wards or communities. And basically what it's saying is, what part of town do you live in? And essentially, it influences that usage because of the fact that it deals with the direction something is facing. The way we would use it also in words is to say, forward, and it has to do with for in the same mean being in support of a particular direction. If you're in support of a particular direction, you go forward. Toward is also very similar. It's movement in a particular direction, and it's in support of, it's positive. So you are going towards something, it's direction. Ward is direction speak. But when you're talking about froward, it's not a word we use today, but it's a word that was used in the days of translating these scriptures, and it was the word that described the contrarian, the rebellious, the perverse, those that were anti-God and against the things of God and against the truth of God, they were considered to be froward people, and it has to do with direction. Now, ward deals with direction, but fro has to do with away from, away, moving away, opposite of. And this is where we use, it's actually where we get the word from, F-R-O, fro, from. If you were to ask somebody, where are you from? You are saying, what place did you leave? Where did you used to be? You're not there anymore. You walked away. And so where are you from? It's even used in the word front. When we talk about front, we're it's directional. It has to do with us not being directed in a particular place any longer, but now we have gone a new direction, and this is the front. This is the front of our when we talk about a united front, it has to do with what we're walking away from and where we're headed to. And so that word F-R-O, it involves away, removal, and it has to do with direction. So when the Bible deals with the froward, it is referring to those who have walked away from. And the Lord said concerning Israel, I abhorred them. They worshiped strange gods. They developed new gods that came newly up. They sacrificed unto devils. They walked, they were froward, very froward. They were children in whom is no faith. So when we talk about somebody who is froward, we're talking about somebody who is walking away from the Lord. And I want to deal with that a little bit because the Bible helps us to understand a little bit about this froward positioning. And in one place that it's referred to a number of times is in the book of Proverbs. So I will invite your attention to the book of Proverbs and let's look at the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at the 14th verse. This is the first time, as I read in Deuteronomy 32, it's the first time that the Lord uses the word that is translated froward and he's describing the backslidings of Israel. We're going to get into the froward position here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Okay, we're talking about direction. And that's the question I want to pose to you today. What direction are you walking? Where are you headed? That has to be a top of mind question in everything that you say, in everything that you do, in every decision that you make. What direction is this taking me? Am I moving in the right direction? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. We are not to enter into the path of the wicked. We are to be led in the paths of righteousness. Now, it's important to understand that a frowardness can be deceitful because you can feel as though it's all right to move in a particular direction as long as you don't complete the journey. But that's the mistake Lot's wife made. When she did the about face, she was in a position of frowardness. When she turned around and looked at the cities of Sodom, she was facing the wrong direction. I will tell you that this is what the Lord was trying to prevent in us when he made that statement that we are to put our shoulder to the plow and we are not to look back. Because if somebody looks back, they are not fit for the kingdom. He's describing a froward position. And you say, yeah, but they didn't complete the journey. They just looked back. What direction are you facing? Are you moving toward God or are you froward from God? It's not a word we use today. It's a word that got lost. It's a word that is overlooked and skipped over, but it's here in the word of the Lord. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. This is Solomon trying to speak to children, to young people. Now this voice has been silenced in our society. If anybody offers correction in our society and suggests to anybody that they are headed in the wrong direction, they are immediately castigated in our society. And I hate to say it, but it's true sometimes even in the body of Christ. If somebody raises their voice in the body of Christ and says, hey, that's headed in the wrong direction, it's very quick that people will immediately shout them down as a legalist, shout them down as somebody who's judgmental, shout them down as somebody who's self-righteous, all because they said, hey, you're not moving in the right direction. And we think, well, because I didn't go full bore head on and complete the journey, then it's okay to look into the wrong direction. Well, the scriptures would beg to differ. This is what Lot felt like when he pitched his tents toward Sodom. And at the time, it felt like it was a perfectly reasonable position to take. He wasn't embracing all of Sodom. He wasn't embracing all of the ideologies of Gomorrah. He wasn't somehow suggesting that Sodom and Gomorrah were ideal cities, but he just leaned that direction. Pitched his tent toward, direction speak, toward. I want us to be mindful of direction. What direction are we facing? What area are we looking to? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you looking to the path of righteousness? Or are you looking to enter into the path of the wicked? You have to ask yourself these questions with every decision that you make. Is this toward God or is this froward from God? Is this something that leads me into a path of righteousness or does this cause me to enter into the path of the wicked? There are many people who are perfectly satisfied to entertain themselves with wicked things, but think that they're okay to do so because they have not been active in those things themselves physically or in a relational way. But in the fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, you are being froward in your heart and in your mind when you are looking in the opposite direction of God. You can't look into the face of God and into the entertainment of the enemy at the same time. This is what verse 15 says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief and their sleep is taken away. Unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I'm going to tell you, you hang around the wrong crowd, and you're going to find out you should not have been facing the wrong direction. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, get on the path of the just. Step onto the path of the righteous that is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Has there anybody here that can testify to the fact that when you take the path of the just, it's a path that ends up in light and in glory and in goodness and in grace? Hallelujah. Anybody have that testimony tonight? The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. The path of the wicked is as darkness. They are blind to the things that are causing them to stumble. This is why our world, ladies and gentlemen, our world we're living in, they are at a total loss as to how things have spiraled out of control. And much of American Christianity has gone right along with it. Because American Christianity has not been looking into the face of God. They've been looking into the face of being accepted by a sinful world. They've looked at a sinful world and instead of trying to evangelize that world, instead of preaching the gospel to that world, instead of preaching repentance to that world, they have embraced the tenets of that world so as to be accepted by that world. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And what happens now is that American people wonder, how in the world did American Christianity accept all manner of evil, all manner of perversion, all manner of wickedness? How was this possible? Frowardness. It was frowardness. It was walking away from the Lord. It wasn't that long ago that mainstream denominations whose founders spoke in other tongues, whose founders believed in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And today they are breaking apart. They are breaking apart by the thousands because of the fact that there has been a total acceptance and embrace of absolute perversion in lifestyle. And what it was frowardness, because at one point they turned from following God. At some point they turned from wanting to please God, and it became about pleasing the world, pleasing mankind and man's opinions. The Bible says it this way: they would rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. We must never fall into the snare of preferring the praise of men over the praise of God. At the end of the day, I want God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My son, attend to my words. Incline, that's direction speak. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. We've got to get into the habit of inclination to God. We've got to get into the habit of towardness toward God. We have to get into the habit of forward, not froward, but forward when it comes to the things of God. Moving in the right direction. Be patient with yourself as long as you're moving in the right direction. I'm grateful for people who are moving in the right direction. During Super Bowl message this year, we talked about forward progress. And it's a part of the football rule that if a runner is running forward and the tackler begins to move that runner back, as long as the runner is moving in the right direction, then the tackler can push the runner back as far as they want. But the forward progress rule will put that ball at the point at which the play was stopped. Once the runner is beginning to be pushed back, that's where the ball sits. They could push him back 10 yards, but the ball is going to sit at where the forward progress was stalled. And that's what you have to know about the things of God. Even if you get pushed back off your footing, as long as you're facing the right direction, God's going to help you and give you strength, and he'll put your progress at the point it should be, not based on your might, hallelujah, but by based on the direction you are facing. Hallelujah. Be facing in the right direction. Don't turn your back on God. Don't turn your back on prayer. Don't turn your back on worship. Don't turn your back on being faithful to the house of God. Don't turn your back on the principles of God's word and the principles of righteous living and holiness. Don't turn your back on those things, but be forward in your progress. And even if you get pushed back because of the direction you're facing, you're going to make good progress. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hi, God, have mercy. I would to God you'd look to somebody and say, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. I've come too far. I'm not turning around. I've come this far by faith. I'm not backing up. I'm not turning around. I'm not backsliding. I'm not becoming a froward person. One who is removed from walking with God. So incline thine ears unto my sayings. Does that mean that you're going to be able to quote the whole book of Psalms? No, you may not be able to do that, but you can incline your ear unto his sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know how to keep them in the midst of your heart? And I love talking about the heart, because the heart has to do with your feelings. That's the seat of your feelings. It's what you feel. Your heart is what you feel. And I think that's so important. God's really laid that upon my heart. Amen. To share with the people of God here in recent times, I want you to know that your heart, that's where your feelings are. God wants his word to get in your feelings. He wants you to feel like serving him. Hallelujah. He wants you to feel like worshiping him. He wants you to feel like being faithful to your spirit. spouse. He wants you to feel, hallelujah, like being a good Christian. He wants you to feel like obeying his word. But the way that you keep it in the midst of your heart, according to verse 21 of Proverbs 4, is to not let them depart from thine eyes. If you won't let them depart from your eyes, then they'll be in the midst of your feelings. If you will keep them before your eyes, hallelujah, then you're going to have them in the midst. I love that. In the midst. It means in the center. It means it's the centerpiece of how you feel about something. His words will be in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart. So when we're talking about the heart and we're talking about feelings, keep thy heart. Don't let your mind wander off into feeling offended. Don't dwell on the things that hurt you and offend you, make you feel wounded. Don't just dwell on the misery of that, because when you do that, you're letting the guard down off of your heart. So he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Do whatever you've got to do to keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. That's where your life issues are coming from. When your heart is conflicted, when your heart is broken, when your heart is not whole, put away from thee, and here it is, a froward mouth. He deals here with the froward mouth. What is that? That's when your mouth is speaking things that are not directional toward God. You can sit in church, but speak with a froward mouth. It's one of the most tragic things a person could ever find is a saint of God who they see living and looking one way. But when they hear them speak, it sounds like the devil himself is talking. The words have a hiss to them. The words have an anger to them. It's a barbed wire on the end of their tongue. It's a forked tongue. And what is that? It's a froward mouth. Now they can look like they're moving in the right direction, but the mouth is moving away from God. He said, put away from thee a froward mouth, put away from thee perverse lips, put them far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, right on. Amen. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand. Turn not to the left hand. Remove thy foot from evil. He's letting you know to put the frowardness out of your mouth. Because if you don't put the frowardness out of your mouth, it's going to affect the way you walk. You want to be on the path of the righteous, not upon the path of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12. Here it is. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Frowardness can get in the words that you speak, and all of your actions can be toward, but if your words are froward, then you are only a matter of time that you'll be walking in the direction that your words will send you. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. This naughty person, this wicked man, who has a froward mouth. And this actually, the commentators agree that what the writer of Proverbs 6 and 13 is saying here with this winketh with his eyes, speaketh with his feet, and teacheth with his fingers, the commentators agree that this is body language that is contrary to righteous speech. And that the frowardness of the mouth in this case is deceptive language. That they say one thing, but their body language is demonstrating another thing. The winking of the eyes is almost a wink, wink. Like I may be saying it, but I don't really believe it. Wink, wink. It's deceptive in the way that they act. It's frowardness. Notice what it says in verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Wow. I knew pride was an issue. But this is saying a proud look is an issue. My goodness. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let me tell you something about authority, spiritual authority and godly authority. You don't have to demonstrate it with a haughty appearance. You don't have to put on some kind of an arrogant display of yourself in order to demonstrate how much godly authority you have. That's not godly authority. Godly authority is found in the meek of the earth. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace, which means he giveth favor to the humble. Lord, deliver us from a proud look. Deliver us from the look that seeks to somehow demonstrate ourselves as being somebody that we're not. We are to be humble before God, and humility isn't even something we can develop on our own. It's something the Lord develops within us. He hates the proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. Oh God, help us. He hates the heart that deviseth mischief or deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are the things the Lord hates. These are the things that are an abomination unto the Lord. Praise God. This is frowardness. When you're not walking toward the things of God, you're going to be walking away from the things of God, and this is the stuff you're going to get involved with. And the Lord hates it, and the Lord wants you to look to him and turn unto him. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let a proud look be upon your visage. Don't let a lying tongue be in your mouth. Don't let your hands be hands that shed innocent blood. Now, this, of course, is talking about the actual shedding of innocent blood. But it's also talking about being guilty of people's blood in a figurative sense as well. And this is when the Bible says to bear false, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's referring to a false accusation. And God forbid that you ever be engaged in shedding the blood of an innocent person. God forbid that you ever do it. God hates it. Don't let your heart think up wicked imaginations. Let your feelings run away and your heart devise all sorts of wicked imaging. And these are the imaginations that through spiritual warfare we cast down and bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is what the froward life will bring. And so it's the responsibility and the privilege and the blessing of the believer to not be froward, but to be forward in our walk with God, to direct our ears to His word, to incline our ears unto His sayings, to look up right on, to walk the path of the righteous. This matter of frowardness will get in your heart and it'll get in your mind, and it'll make you so froward that you can even come to church. And yet when you're away from this place, your heart will be far from Him. He said, your lips will praise me, but your heart will be far from me. What is that? That's a froward heart. The Bible talks about a froward heart. The Bible talks about a froward mouth. And here's what the scripture says about the connection between the mouth and the heart. Confess with your heart, mouth, and believe in your heart. What you confess with your mouth, you will eventually believe in your heart. If it's coming out of your mouth, it'll eventually lodge itself in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it will turn into a vicious cycle for you. But I want to turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read to you from the 11th verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This describes the what we call the fivefold ministry. It's a reference to the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And this is what the scripture said. The Lord gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And this is why. This is why God gives this fivefold ministry to the church. Here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. This is why we have to have teachers teaching the church. And this is why we have evangelists come and preach as evangelists and to the church, and why we have evangelizing going on in the church. And this is the witnessing of the word to lost souls and the fulfilling the Great Commission. And this is why we have pastors and apostles and prophets. Apostles, those that are sent into all the world, and prophets, those who prophesy the word of God. Why is it? For the perfecting of the saints. Why is it? For the work of the ministry. This is how the ministry, the work of the ministry is fulfilled. And it is for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this action is going to take place till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what we're doing when we're preaching and we're praying and we're teaching and we're reaching and we're baptizing and we're having prayer meetings and we're praying people through and we're discipling and we're mentoring and we're holding revival meetings. Guest speakers come to this pulpit. Ministers on the ministry team preach from this pulpit. We preach on park benches. We preach across cafe tables. We preach in our living rooms. We have prayer meetings throughout the city. What are we doing? We're doing it till we all come into the unity of the faith. In the unity of the faith. We're bringing people into the unity of the faith. People who may be froward, we're going to get them and bring them back onto the path. People who may be walking away, we turn them around and get them walking in the right direction. We're coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Every time we get a chance, we preach Jesus. Every time we get a chance, we teach Jesus. Every time we get a chance, we declare Jesus. That's everything we preach, teach, and declare. It's all about Jesus, because we are perfecting the saints, edifying the body, doing the work of the ministry, trying to bring everybody into the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, I already know about the Son of God. Well, apparently you need to no more, because if you know anything about Him at all, you know that unsearchable are His ways. Hallelujah. If you know anything about Him at all, you understand that His riches are unsearchable, that you will never reach the bottom of that beautiful ocean of His love, that you'll never reach the top of that beautiful sky and heavens. The heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. So if you know some, you need to know more. Here we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And here's where God is taking all of us, unto a perfect man. God is taking us unto a perfect man. Praise God. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This body that we are being built into is described in 1 Corinthians 12 when it talks about the ear and the eye and the foot and the hand, and it's referring to the consistency and continuity of the body of Christ. That's what the Lord is growing all of us up unto through the ministry of the fivefold ministry and the ministry of the body, the edifying of the body, the perfecting of the saints in the work of the ministry. Now, this is what happens as a result, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Now remember what Deuteronomy 32:20 said. It said that they were children in whom is no faith. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's referring to children in whom is no faith. And I want to take special notice of the winds of doctrine that toss to and fro. To and fro. That's what the winds of false doctrine do. They toss us to and fro. Not just fro. To and fro. That's what makes them so deceptive. Is that there's sometimes they toss you to God, but then they toss you from God. They toss you to God just enough that you think you're on the right track. But then just as soon as you're going toward Him, they'll push you froward Him, away from Him, in the wrong direction. You'll come to church and talk in tongues. They'll toss you to, but then you'll live in a way that is unbecoming a child of God when you're out of sight. They toss you fro. You'll see glimmers and glimpses of God in false doctrine. And it'll make you feel comfortable with the false doctrine. Because the devil can't just create a lie. He has to use the truth to create a lie. He has nothing but truth. There is nothing but truth. So the devil, the only material he has to work with is truth. And a lie is a distortion of the truth. So he'll take the truth, that's the two, and he'll distort it, that's the fro. That's why frowardness means rebellion, it means distortion, it means perversion, because that's exactly what it is. It is a distortion of the things that are true. And it's the trueness of the lie that makes the lie deceptive. The little grain of truth in it is there as bait for unsuspecting, weak believers. God help us all to be toward the things of God. God help us all to follow in the path of righteousness till we all come in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the fullness of the stature, hallelujah, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That's why you can actually hear a preacher of false doctrine and there'll be some things he says that you agree with. What is that? It's the tossing to. And then there'll be some devastating falsehood in what he's saying. That's the fro. And you know, last week, I don't know if anybody was out in the middle of that cyclonic weather a week ago last night. Sister Heidi and I were in it. And we were driving into it, and it was nighttime. And the lightning would light up the sky. And when the lightning would light up the sky, I saw in the sky an interesting, terrifying cloud that was V-shaped. And I thought, that doesn't look good. And then it was dark again. And then when the lightning illuminated the sky again, I saw it again. And we said, we had two words, and oh. And I actually don't get, I mean, I don't get too worked up about that, but as we were driving directly into this thing, leaves and branches started sweeping across the roadway in front of us, and the rain was coming this way in front of our car and that way in front of our car. And I thought, it shouldn't be doing both. It needs to make up its mind. And then I felt the pull on the car. I felt the car being pulled in a direction that I wasn't taking it. And I realized we're in a bad situation. So I made the U-turn and started out running the whatever we were in. I don't know what exactly we were in, but I know what it looked like. And I know what it was starting to feel like. And I was froward from that tornado. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's the way the winds of false doctrine are. It'll have rains coming this way and it'll have rains coming that way. That's why the Bible calls it winds of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. It's every wind. It's the north, the south, the east, the west. It's every wind of doctrine. They're all blowing and they're to and they're fro. And sometimes they look godly and sometimes they're ungodly. And it's a deception of the enemy. And the only thing that's going to save you from walking froward from God is to be on a highway called holiness, walking toward the Lord. Hallelujah. On the path of the just that shineth, hallelujah, that shineth the more and more unto that perfect day. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that's going to save you. Get on the path of prayer. Get on the path of humility. Put away the froward mouth. Put away froward speech. Don't talk like you don't believe in the goodness of God. Don't talk like you don't love your brother and your sister. Don't talk like you don't believe that God is a healing God, a saving God, a delivering God, a holy God. Don't talk like you don't believe that He is with you even now, present with you. Don't do it. That's a froward mouth. Walk in the path of the righteous. Hallelujah. Walk in the path, hallelujah, of the righteous. I tell you, the wind we need that mighty rushing wind that began to blow upon us at the day of Pentecost. We need a wind of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let your speech become a stumbling block to someone else. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Praise God. Lord, I'm preaching to some people. You know, some of you are tempted to turn your back on God, but I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I rebuke the lure of the enemy that is pulling on you to turn your back on the things of God in Jesus' name. But there are some of you who would never dream of turning your back on God, but you wouldn't know it from the way you talk. Don't be okay with froward speech, because it will become a froward path. And you'll end up like Lot's wife, wishing you still lived in Sodom when God is trying to save you from the destruction to come. Praise God. I wonder if we could just lift up our hands to the Lord right now and say, God, help me to walk in the right path. Help me to live according to you. Help me to see you. Help me to look right on. Make straight paths for my feet, oh God. Make straight paths for my feet. Let my speech be filled with praise. Let my speech be filled with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let my speech be filled with the goodness and the glory and the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could do that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Lift up a praise unto the Lord right now. Lift up a praise unto the Lord right now. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, when we praise God, we know how to praise God. We do. We know how to praise God. We do. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. But you know one of the ways that the psalmist praised God? They would declare certain things about the way they were going to live for God. They would open up their mouth and say things like, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hallelujah. They would open up their mouth and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. That they would open up their mouth and say, my heart is fixed. Hallelujah. My heart is inditing a good matter. And if they struggled with that, they would say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. I wonder if you could open up your mouth in praise right now and begin to declare some things that maybe they're not, but declare them as though they were. Open up your mouth and just lift up your voice and say, I will praise the Lord all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. I will lift up the holy name of God. I will praise him in the morning. I will praise him in the noonday. I will praise him when the sun goes down. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand together and lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Let's lift up a praise unto God right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if there's been a complaint to be lodged with your mouth this week, I wonder if you could counter it with praise right now. Counter it with praise right now. If in your mouth you have heard from your own lips come words of murmuring and disputation, I wonder if you can lift up a praise unto God. Come on, sanctify the words of your mouth right now. Sanctify the words of your mouth. Hallelujah. If you've uttered some kind of a word against a brother or a sister, come on, that's it. Lift up a praise unto God and bless your brother and your sister. Lord, bless my brothers, bless my sisters, bless the precious saints at Tree of Life Church. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Strengthen them and their families and their homes, oh God. God wants to deliver us from the froward path, but the way it's going to start is that he's going to deliver us from the froward mouth. He's going to deliver us from perverse lips. He's going to deliver us from perverse sayings. Lord, let all my sayings be true and holy. Let everything that comes from my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Let the words of my mouth. I want you to, I feel the Spirit of the Lord so strong. I want us to pray that prayer right now. Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. God, forgive me for speaking defeat when you paid it all. When you've given me the victory. Forgive me for speaking hate when you loved me with an everlasting love. Forgive me, Lord, for speaking doubt when you have given me faith that is greater, faith that can move mountains. Forgive me for speaking gossip, oh Lord, when you have forgiven me of so very much. Come on, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in the sight of God right now. I'm opening up these altars in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want the words of your mouth to be acceptable, let the meditation of your heart be acceptable. Lord, let the meditation of my heart, let the meditation of my feelings, the things that I dwell on, the things that I ponder and consider, let them be acceptable in thy sight, oh God. The meditation of my heart, I want to be walking in the direction of your Spirit, Lord. I don't want to be froward. I don't want to be froward. Come on, I want some folks like Israel. You have been begotten by the rock. He found you when you were in a desert land. He found you when you were in the waste howlings of the wilderness. He found you when nobody wanted you, but he wanted you. When people cast you aside, he picked you up. He bore you upon eagle's wings. He loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Thank you, precious Jesus. Bless his holy name. Thank you, precious Lord. 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 It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, Lord.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
Be the center of my life. Jesus. I want us to pray a prayer tonight. Let's don't underestimate the role of prayer and the power that prayer plays. The role that prayer plays and the power that prayer has in the situation of reaching lost souls. We're to preach the gospel, but prayer is a part of that preaching the gospel. And I want us to pray for some people that may be in your mind right now who are in a froward position of life. They're walking from God. They're going in the wrong direction, and you have a burden in your heart for them. I want us to lift up our voices in prayer for people right now. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice in prayer for people right now. Tell them. Tell God. Say, Lord, save them. Turn them around, Lord. Minister to their heart. Speak to them. Bring them into the ark of safety. God, begin to lead them, guide them. Hallelujah. God, begin to move upon their heart in Jesus' name. Speak to them right now, Lord. Speak to them. Come on, that's it. Pray that prayer of faith over their soul right now. I'm telling you, prayer takes wings. Prayer takes wings. Yes, it does. Come on, pray that prayer of faith in Jesus' name. Pray that intercessory prayer. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you'll soften their heart. Soften their heart, oh God. Let them be tender to the Word of God. Let them be tender to the voice of the Spirit. Speak to them, oh God. Oh, Lord. Lord, that they not be froward in their path, but that they walk in the light as you are in the light. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. 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 Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, yes, Lord, Jesus, 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 Jesus.